Welcome to our fifth podcast from Registers of Scotland on designing services for the public sector, featuring Hilary from Registers of Scotland, Anna Henderson from Scottish Government, and myself, Claire, also from Registers of Scotland. So, have you ever bought or sold a house? Have you ever inquired about your property's boundaries? Or even read a news article about house price trends? If you have, then you'll have come into contact with Registers of Scotland. We compile and maintain 20 public registers such as Scotland's Land Register, and we are the experts in land and property information. In this podcast today, we're meeting with a colleague of mine, Head of Service Design and Innovation, Hilary, and Service Design Lead at the Scottish Government, Anna. I'm Claire, the User Experience Lead. We're going to be talking about all things design for the public sector. So welcome all, I'm delighted that you could join us today.
Thanks for having us.
I'm going to start with a little fact about design in public services. So design actually started in Registers of Scotland with a chap called Thomas Thompson in 1807. If you look at the old Land Register, which is a handwritten book, every page is very tightly covered in cramped writing with no space between any of the entries. Along came Thomas in 1807, who wanted to improve the registers during a time where transactions were increasing. He did things like limited the number of words per page, he added in margins, he introduced search aids. The difference in the wider spacing between the content is very obvious when you actually see the books. It meant that searching the register became more efficient. The time and cost of producing the registers reduced also. What he went on to do from there was he reduced the volume of registers that we had. So basically, Thomas was improving the search for data, making it easier to digest by being a content producer, creating style guideline version number one for Registers of Scotland, and creating a single source of truth. Does that sound familiar? Now, let's start talking. So, shall we start with how we all know each other?
Well, for me, you and I met about 4 years ago at UX Scotland, and we were sharing a session where I spoke for the first half and you were speaking for the second half.
That's right, yes.
And then we went out for dinner and that was all lovely. And then about 3 years later...
Yep, it was about 3 years later, I think, and turned up for first day at Registers of Scotland, new job, and we were both here.
Yep, it's a small world. Anna, I got introduced via Kat McCauley, who is the chief designer in Scottish Government, and I was asking for a bit of help around service design, and she suggested we meet, and I think I bought you a cup of tea, right?
This story changes all the time. I don't think we'll ever get to the bottom of who bought who a cup of tea. But yeah, so we've both met through Kat, and Kat has been instrumental in kind of spearheading the Scottish approach to service design, which I'll talk a little bit about later. And I know Claire through Kevin White, who's the head of user-centred design in the Digital Directorate. And he basically introduced me because he said, oh, this wonderful lady Claire is doing some work around how to build community in the public sector and bring designers together. So I got in touch, or we got in touch with each other that way.
Yep, that must have been about, how long ago would you say?
Year and a half, I think.
Yep, my word.
Yeah. And what about Neil? He can't make it today, but Neil works for Edinburgh University and he's part of our gang.
Yep, so Neil Allinson, he's a user experience service manager at Edinburgh Uni. To be honest, I actually don't know how long I've known Neil, but it's through various meetups and UX Scotland and just general chats about user experience.
And I think I met Neil in a similar way to both of you. At some of the hanging out at these events and equally through Kevin.
So here's the first question. What is a government service?
So government services for me are sometimes invisible, but include everything that goes on up front and behind the scenes to enable government to meet the needs of the public. So that's really what government's here to do.
I totally agree. It can be simple things like if someone wants to buy a house or receive a benefit or want to pay for a license for a septic tank, for instance, it's enabling those little things to happen, or big things in some cases, depending on the complexity of the need that the citizen has.
And so thinking about that, then what would you say is service design? Anna, do you want to go first?
Service design is very simple in the sense that it's the design of services. But I think what's really interesting is when you start to unpack that, it starts to get more complex. So if we think about a service is a set of systems, processes, things, and people, which when brought together and orchestrated, can meet the need of a user or enable them to satisfy a goal. But when you start unpacking that, it gets a bit more complex. And equally, when you start thinking about design, a lot of people see it as a bit of magic that happens behind the scenes. And what we're really keen to do at Scottish Government is figure out how can we involve citizens in that part of the process as well as doing research.
I had written down, it's joining the dots. Mm. So it is like one of these big epic kids' pictures where you try and unify maybe people and things. And from working with citizens and members of the public, we understand that they think government's well more joined up than it actually is. So if there is opportunity for us to help realise that, then we're going to try and do that too.
Yep, that seems to make sense. Yeah, I suppose it's not pushing our kind of back-end processes onto customers as well. So, Anna, what would you say is the Scottish approach for service design?
That's a really exciting question. And if I may, I'd like to start back in 2016 when we started having conversations with national government, local government, public sector, third sector, industry, because we were hearing murmurs about the challenge that people face, but we wanted to really make sure we were understanding the context and the landscape as well as possible. So we had an initial event to understand the challenges that people are facing when it came to designing public services in Scotland. And then after that, we had two follow-up events, one in Dundee and one in Edinburgh, to collaboratively share what we were learning and also understand what the next steps might be. And what we learned from those events was that there were no standard methods or tools for designing public services, that or we were organisational-led, not necessarily service-user-led, and that there was uneven capacity and capability. So what we wanted to do was we just wanted to think about, okay, how can we support everyone to design better public services? And it's more than just service design. It's about thinking about that big picture. It describes design as a way of exploring problem space openly, collaboratively, and with users before a solution is decided on or a service is designed. And to make this happen, we've been working on a playbook. It's a publication aimed to describe design in the context to ensure that we don't just design services in the right ways, but that we design services right. It's in its first iteration, it's for senior leaders, and it's to support them to kind of create awareness, to create buy-in, and to introduce this concept of designing together. So when we think about service design, we usually think about we need to meet the need of a user. But in most cases, individuals don't wake up with a need, they wake up with a problem. And those problems are quite complex. So what we do is we talk about life events as a way of framing those discussions. And particularly if you give the example of relationship breakdown, you may have a couple who are in a violent relationship. The separation is not amicable, so there's a lot of challenge there and distress, whereas you might have another couple who are married, but they want to have, it's a joint decision for them to break up. And these scenarios are very, very different, but they'll both need to access public services for some forms of support. And what those support are is very different as well. So by looking at this topic of relationship breakdown, we've mapped that there's actually 40 organisations that can support that life event. And it's really quite challenging for an individual or a couple to navigate through that when they're in potentially a time of crisis. So what we really want to do is empower people to create more joined up journeys, again, joining those dots, so that people in the people of Scotland can actively participate in defining what a service is, designing that service, and making sure we deliver it as well as we can. And for that reason, it's more than just service design. When we talk about the Scottish approach to service design, it's everyone's business.
So based on that, if you think about the different situations that potentially users of the government services might be in, then there could be high levels of stress and emotion, whereas other ones are much more clear-cut and you know, less of a situation for somebody to be in. Do you have to take those into account, or do you frame everybody within the kind of same emotional context?
I think always you've got to consider the experience of individuals, and that's why we put so much emphasis on making sure that we do research and that the research we do is legal, inclusive and ethical, because it's really important that we're not causing distress by understanding someone's experience. And I've got lots of good, great colleagues who, if anyone's interested, would be more than happy to share our understanding and our kind of work in that area. And I would totally encourage anyone who wants to hear more about the Scottish approach to service design or wants to get in touch to do that, because this is the first iteration of the playbook. The plan for the second iteration is that it will start pulling together all those kind of tools and methods in which we work within government to support others to be able to do it too. And that's a really important aspect for us, is how do we involve people, but in a safe way.
I feel like I'm put on the spot because this wasn't rehearsed or practiced, but most of the things you described are things that you might just do once in your life. So you don't really have any prior expectation or education about what happens. How do you guys accommodate that?
Good question. So I think that we always have to meet people where they are, right? So that's part of how do we set up the research and understand that individual's experience. And it's very important that we do that in the right way. So I'm intrigued to know, where does that question come from so that I can answer it more accurately?
I was just thinking about particularly the circumstances you described where someone was in a separation for whatever reason. And it's almost like, where would you know to go to? You don't know what you don't know. So in terms of those 40 organisations that could offer support to people, just getting carried away with your little vignette. Sorry.
No. I think that's a really good example, because I think the reason that piece of work came out of a lot of work that mygov.scot did to understand all the content and support that was out there within Scotland to support individuals going through relationship breakdown. And they did a lot of work to understand that landscape and then to try and simplify it and bring those organisations together so that they could support the individuals when they needed it. So I'm not sure if that answers your question. But feel free to ask me another if you want some more information.
No, that was perfect. My question was rubbish, sorry.
No, it wasn't rubbish.
So yeah, kind of going on your example, it's kind of like, if you know, you're in that particular situation, you don't know what stage of that journey somebody's going to be at. So they could land on your website at any point, which means that you need to have everything kind of tied together to have that journey to support them at whatever stage that they come in at.
And I think that's one of the challenges when it comes to service design, is understanding when someone realises that they have a need or that there is a problem, and then how do they find support or find you or find out how they can do X, Y and Z to meet their goal from the outset. And I think that's one of the things we sometimes make assumptions about when we're designers, is where the journey starts and stops for different individuals. So I was chatting with some people, some policemen, about being professional witnesses in court. And I had made an assumption that the journey for them starts when they get a citation. But in reality, it doesn't. It starts when they witness something that's illegal and they have to make appropriate notes about it. And that's when the journey starts. So it's really important for me, and a great realisation, to be reminded of that. So it's very easy to bring our assumptions and biases into the work we do. And that's why it's so, so important to talk to the users of a service, the staff who provide the service, the organisation, throughout the whole process of understanding it, designing it, testing it, implementing it, to make sure that we're still always on track, on topic, and making the right decisions with them at the right times.
Great, thank you very much, Anna. So, Hilary, thinking about how the Scottish approach that Anna was just talking about, how are we doing service design at Registers of Scotland?
So in the last couple of years, we've endeavoured to take this approach when we've been building some of our new services. So Scotless, Digital Discharge and the Gateway Research Project have been two that or three that I can think about right now. But as the kind of playbook and things like that have become an emergent, we want to be able to support this wholeheartedly. And the executive management team have invited us to set up a service design function in the organisation. So it's not full of people that are got service designers in their job title. Your team, the UX yep. team, the business analysts and the agile coaches have all came on board recently. And that's what we are considering our kind of service design team with a verb. So we all do it. And that's going to be interesting going forward in the next year, just to see how we can grow that practice in an organisation that does what we do with our customer base, which is different again from the groups that Anna was talking about. It's principally people that are involved in the buying and selling of houses. But obviously the user, the customer at the end of the day is the citizens that are moving house or moving home or splitting up or retiring and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Super, thank you. Well, certainly for the UX team as well, it's a very exciting opportunity to be going into, and having Scottish Government be able to do kind of cross-community as well, then it provides a lot of support and help, and just somebody to be able to talk to.
I'm quite excited about being able to do end-to-end work within the organisation. So the projects that I'd mentioned before have done great things, but they've done them within the bounds of a particular lens, a particular project. And we are getting to a place where we're going to be able to do things for our users, which are both staff and customers and citizens, that cut across lots of different parts of the organisation rather than being concentrated in the one area.
Great, thank you. So our discussion is coming to an end. I've just got one final question for the podcast. What is your best advice for our listeners on how to get into UX and service design?
Well, the reason that we do all know each other is because we collectively run the Public Sector Design Meetup, which is a quarterly event which takes place split between Glasgow and Edinburgh. And we would totally welcome anybody that listens that's interested to come along and ask us questions.
So it's quite a relaxed event. We've had lots of different people with different backgrounds coming along, and you don't have to be a designer to come. So I would just quash any assumptions about that from the outset. Anyone's welcome to be part of the conversation. We've had a little kind of book club where people have just come along and shared things that they found inspirational. Again, not within the design space necessarily. One book was about someone being inspired to cycle across the world, I think, if I remember mm-hmm. correctly. And then equally, we've done an agile lean coffee. So equally, we've done a lean coffee, which went down really well. It's basically a safe space to chat with other people from the public sector about what things we find challenging, what things are working, what things aren't working, so we can learn and grow together.
Excellent. What an excellent plug for our public sector community meetup. The next one's taking place at the end of April, so keep an eye out on our social media for more information. And we've got a hashtag of PubSecDesign, which is PubSecDesign. So thank you for listening to Registers of Scotland's podcast. Make sure to rate us or leave a comment if you enjoyed our podcast today. And remember to check in with our social media channels for regular updates. We'll be back soon with our next instalment. Thanks for listening.